Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to only read one verse, verse number 1 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the message that we're about to hear. Teach us the simple truth you have for us. Draw us closer to you as a result, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you on this subject this morning. Faith, it's dependence upon God. Faith, dependence upon God. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't let us see Him? I know I have. Have you ever wondered why sometimes God doesn't send an airplane skywriter into the sky to let you know exactly what He wants you to do, or leaves what I call a post-it note in the sky to tell you what He wants you to do? We know that angels live within His presence. We know that if He chose to reveal Himself where we could see Him visibly and hear Him audibly, He would. So why doesn't He? Why doesn't God just roll back the clouds and remove that curtain from the universe and let us as the world see Him as the Creator, and then there wouldn't be any question about right or wrong, eternity, heaven or hell, or creation, whether we evolved or were created? Well, I know the answer. Here's the answer. It's not a simple one. It's one that we can fully understand, though. It's one that we can understand, but not fully understand, if you will, till we actually get into eternity. But it is one that we could accept. And here's the answer. Are you ready? It's just one simple word. Faith. Faith. See, the angels don't have faith. They have sight. Faith is what God wants you and I to have. Now, faith, as our text verse said, faith in Hebrews 11:1 is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is what God wants you and I to walk in. You see, from eternity past, God planned that we would be made a little lower than the angels, and that we would not see the things that the angels saw, but we would trust Him by faith. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 through 5, it says this, Psalm 8, verses 3 through 5. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. In God's eternal purpose for our very existence, He determined that our relationship with Him would not be based on sight, on hearing, on touching, on smelling. Our five senses would not be involved, that our relationship with Him would be based upon one thing, and that's the word faith. He chose that relationship for us to love Him, to hear about Him, to accept Him, and to follow Him. We're often, as people, filled with anxiety. Anxiety means a state of uneasiness or apprehension about future uncertainties. Surely today our world is filled with anxieties. You got wars in the Ukraine. You got wars going on between Israel and Hamas there in the Gaza Strip. You've got Iraq is on fire right now. The Iranians are talking about building a nuclear weapon. And that may come into fruition very shortly. We have unrest financially around the world. We're worried about oil and enough fuel. And we're just coming out of a recession financially in our nation. And There's constant fears that we're going to slip back into. Our world is filled with all sorts of anxieties, which is a state of intense apprehension or uncertainty in fears resulting from the anticipation of threatening events or situations, often to the degree that the normal psychological and physiological functions are affected in the individual and disrupted. That's what anxiety really means. In other words, the word anxiety, though we do not find it in the Bible, we find a word in the Bible that means anxiety, and that word is disquieted. The word disquieted. And the word for anxiety in our Bible, we find the word disquieted, which has the exact same meaning as the word anxiety. And we find that word in our Bible often. Let me read you a few verses. In Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 5, it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Why are you filled with anxiety?" Question. Answer. Hope in God. For I shall see yet, I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and of my God. Psalm 42 and verse 11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." So we see the same verse in two different locations where anxiety is talked about. Why are we so disquieted? Why is there such an anxiety in me? Why do I have so much fear of uncertain events that are going on? Even here, when the crops are growing, we worry about, is there going to be enough rain? Is there not going to be enough rain? Is there going to be enough sunshine? Is there going to be enough what I need to make sure that my crop comes in? That is a concern. We have concerns about many things. We have concerns, okay, I'm retired now. Do I have enough money coming in where I can continue to take care of my family? Am I going to get sick? We get a little ill and we see things start happening in our lives and we start to say, how long am I going to live? What disease am I getting? There's anxieties in everything we do. In Psalm 39, verse number 6, it says this, "Surely every man walketh in vain." Surely thou art disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. So here we see we're disquieted again over finances or in anxiety. Faith, then, is simply this. Faith is trusting or putting confidence in God instead of having anxiety. We get anxious. Don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord. Well, I got to go buy a new car and I'm not sure exactly. Just relax. It's going to be okay. Trust in the Lord. But I'm not sure if I can make my house payment. Well, relax. Go to the Lord in faith. Work your job. Do the things He's provided for you and pay your bills. Just relax. It's okay. It's going to be all right. We live in a day where anxiety fills multitudes of people. But faith is simply taking that force or that power of anxiety and turning it into trusting God. Now let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer, this is just a question. When you were young and a kid, did you think about paying the bills? No. Did you think about where we're going to get the next meal from? No. Did you think about is there going to be a roof over my head tomorrow? Is the rent going to be paid? No. When we were children, we simply depended upon our parents. We let them worry about those things. We didn't worry about them. And that's what God wants you and I to do, is not to try to do it ourselves, but to depend upon Him, to trust Him, knowing that He has the ability to meet our every need. Faith is not a force or a power, as some teach it today. Faith is simple dependence on God. Faith is displayed when I realize my utter helplessness and I cast my dependence and trust on God that I cannot see. This is the very foundation of our relationship with God and our purpose for existence. It's the only way to please God, for when we walk by faith and not by sight, we're pleasing God. Everything I do as a Christian, then, should be an expression of my dependence on the Lord. It is then that which pleases Him. Hebrews chapter 11. We were just in chapter 11, but we go down to verse number 6, and it says these words. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So faith, then, is that depending on God for every aspect of our life. And without it, we can't please Him. We can't find favor with God without faith. When we get saved, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So, God's telling me that by grace are you saved through faith. Grace means something I don't deserve, unmerited favor. So I can't do it myself. I'm on my way to hell simply because I was born in sin, and there's no way that I could stop my sin and pay for that sin debt. I remember when I was young. I was about 12 years old. My daddy, I know you can't believe this, but I used to be a troublemaker. I'm shocked. I used to be in trouble with my folks all the time. I know. Preacher, well, you wouldn't think that because I'm such a nice person now. But when I was little, buddy, I was a terror. I remember my dad putting me in the car one day on a Saturday afternoon after I'd gotten in some tremendous trouble. To be honest with you, I don't remember what it was. It didn't seem like anything different than the ordinary. And he put me in the car and he drove me to the Catholic church down the street. And he said, they're having Mass right now at 5 o'clock. You go up in there and don't you come out of that church till you learn something about doing right. I said, okay. I walked up those, seemed like 100 steps up into the church building, and the building was packed with people, and I stood along the back wall as they had the Mass. Everything was, there was no carpet, and they had hard pews and marble everywhere. You know how the big Catholic churches are built, and the words would echo against the walls and against the floor and against the ceiling as the priest would speak. And blessed myself with the holy water. I genuflected when I was supposed to. I bowed when I was supposed to. I knelt when I was supposed to. And about 3/4 of the way through it, I walked out. I sat down on the front steps outside the church building, looking at the very top, looking out on the area below. And I thought, I'm going to hell. And there is no way I can stop myself. I'm full of sin. Doesn't matter how many hosts I eat, how many times I go to church, none of that is going to pay for all the wrong I've done. And I realized, as a young man of 12 years old, that if you took all the good I ever did and put it on a scale, you know, like a justice scale, put it on one side, and then you put all the bad I did on the other side, oh, buddy, would that weigh down with all the wrong I'd done? There's no way I could undo all that. I knew that at age 12. And the church service ended. Everybody filed out. Building was empty. The preacher was going around shutting the doors. Saw me sitting there and said, is there something you need, son? I said, no, sir. I done figured it out. He said, okay. And then my dad pulled up at the bottom of the stair area. So I walked down all those stairs. My dad said, I got in the car. My dad said, you learn anything? I said, yep. He said, what'd you learn? I said, I'm going to hell. No. My dad said, is that right? I said, yep. And I can't stop it. And my dad looked at me peculiarly, and I didn't say another word the whole rest of the way home. I don't even think I misbehaved the next few days. I was just thinking about the fact that I was going to hell, and I couldn't do anything. I could not do anything about it. Then many years later, at the age of 21, I heard a preacher, I was invited to a Baptist church like this. It wasn't very large, there wasn't very many people there, maybe 30 folks, and I heard him say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I knew I was on my way to hell. You didn't have to tell me that. I'd known that since I'd been 12. But for the first time in my life, I found out that somebody else took my place. And he preached about how Jesus loved me, a sinner. And if I would just trust him by faith, he's already done all the work. And I really wanted to grab that night, but I didn't. I went another week under great conviction by the Holy Spirit that I needed to receive Christ as my Savior. And the next Sunday evening, I went to that church again. I walked that aisle. I don't know what the preacher preached that day. All I heard is, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I walked forward, and a church like this one knelt right over here on the right side of the preacher, the left side of the platform, and asked Jesus to save me. And someone came down and went through the gospel message with me. Changed my life. Can I be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen? That was faith. And that same faith that I was taking, because I knew I was on my way to hell, I was trusting everything Jesus did, I can't get there on my own, I can't undo it, and by faith, I was taking what God had done for me. And that's how I'm supposed to approach every aspect of my life, and that's how we are supposed to approach every aspect of our lives, by faith. I don't know what to do about this. Trust Christ by faith. That doesn't mean just say, "I'm just going to trust Christ and go." Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 again, if you would, in verse number 6. It says, "But without faith, it's impossible." There is no possible way in all eternity to change anything or to please God. So I could be good all my life and do good and do good and give to the church and be baptized and be a good man and be a good husband and be a good daddy and be good and be good and be good and be good. And I still couldn't please God because it's impossible. But faith, on the other hand, makes it possible. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So I'm just not going to throw up my hand and say, "Well, I'm just trusting God." No, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to say, "Lord, I don't know what to do." Just like the day I got saved. "Lord, I don't know how to go to heaven. I can't get myself there. I know it's impossible for me to get there. So I'm going to trust what you've done for me. And I'm going to take Jesus Christ as my Savior and accept his death as my death. And his burial as my burial. And his resurrection, as my payment for all the sin I've done. And now the balances are clear. And there's much more weight on Jesus Christ than there ever has been on the sin that I've committed. And by faith, I go to him on every aspect of life the same way. I go to him and I say, "Dear Lord, I don't know what to do about this in life. All I know is that I'm supposed to trust you. I'm supposed to depend on you." Let me use faith in a different form now. In just a few weeks here, in the beginning of October, I'm going to get on an airplane. And my wife and I are going to fly for about 24 hours to the Philippines. That's a long flight. I'm going to get awful sad and sore. But I don't know anything about flying. I don't know how to land a plane. I don't know how to take a plane off. I don't know how to give fuel. I don't know anything. I don't know anything at all. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get in that plane. I'm going to sit in my seat. I'm going to put on my seatbelt. And I'm just going to trust the pilot. I'm going to trust his training. I'm going to trust that company. I'm going to trust that airplane, and there's nothing I can do. If the loudspeaker turned on and a stewardess got on and said, "The pilot has died. Is there someone here that can fly the plane?" Not me. Uh-oh, there better be somebody here that I could trust because I can't do it. I don't question the pilot. I don't know about you, but I don't go up to the Let me talk to that pilot up there. Buddy, what did you do in pilot school? What were your grades like? How many hours have you been flying? I don't know any of that. You don't either. You're just going to trust him, aren't you? That's exactly what God wants us to do in every aspect of our life. Is just to trust him. That's the only way I can please God. And that's the only way you can please God. Let's look at that verse just one more time here. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So I got to really believe then, don't I, when I go to him in prayer? I got to believe he's really going to answer that prayer. That he's really going to hear me. That he's going to pick up that heavenly telephone and answer it and say, "Hey, Doug, how you doing? Good talking with you, son. I sure do love you, and I'll take care of whatever you need." I got to really believe in him. Now, I believed in him for him to save me. So if he's going to save me, don't you think I should believe in him? That he's going to help me today? Don't you think I could then believe in him that he's going to give me guidance through today? Then can't I trust every portion of my life to him if he loved me so much that he gave his only son? Now I will say this, and I'm about done. And I love God's people. But if it came between you going to heaven and my son's life, I'm afraid you'd have to figure out your own way. Because I'm not going to offer my son as a sacrifice for anybody else to go to heaven. In fact, if it came down to it, I would give my life to save my son rather than have my son give his life to save me. Am I right? You'd feel the same way about your child. But then God loved you. And God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. So did I. That decrepit young kid I told you about, filled with mischief, filled with sin, filled with his own way, could have his sins washed away so he could go to heaven. And he suffered like he suffered and died like he died so that I could go to heaven. And all I have to do is believe him. And by faith, trust him. But he didn't just do it for that. He tells us that. He did it for every aspect of your life. Your financial life. Your marital life. Your child-rearing life. Your leadership life at work. Your leadership life with your family. Your leadership life as a grandparent and a great-grandparent. And everything when it comes to your health and well-being. If I will diligently seek him in faith, he promises he'll take care of us. How many have seen heaven? You seen Jesus yet? But you trust him, don't you? Take you to heaven. Well, I don't see a lot of answers in my life. But I keep trusting him and he keeps answering. And I keep trusting him and he keeps answering. And I keep trusting him and he keeps on answering. So what do we need to do then? We need to simply get back to trusting him. We just need to get back to where he's pleased. Get back to where we give ourselves over to the Lord and allow him to care for you and me. Our pride, though, tries to stop us. Notable spiritualists try to get in our way. But truly, faith is dependence on God. And the great news is that God delights in that. He delights in our faith. He is joyous to reveal himself to you and I so he can express himself through the faith that we express in him. So let's go. Let's just give in. Let's just give it to him. And let him control, by faith, every aspect of our life. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. Thank you for this simple truth. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd help us to understand this and apply this to our